Welcome back to Open Line, WOSU 820. I'm Fred Anderle. This half hour on the show, is the United States military purposely misdiagnosing injured soldiers to avoid paying disability and medical benefits? Journalist Joshua Kors joins us with an update on his investigation into what he charges are cases of soldiers wounded in Iraq who are, he says, suspiciously diagnosed as having a pre-existing personality disorder, and as a consequence are prevented from receiving medical and disability benefits. You may recall, if you heard our previous show, a case in point, Army Specialist John Town, a resident of Finlay, who claims he was falsely diagnosed as having a personality disorder existing prior to his injury from a rocket shell in the Iraq War. As a consequence, Specialist Town was deprived of benefits he feels he is entitled to because of the injury. Now, we have an update on Specialist Town's case. We're also going to hear about the fact that the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, is investigating this whole issue of personality disorder diagnoses and denial of benefits. Back with us, freelance journalist Joshua Kors. His article, How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits, appeared in The Nation magazine, and you can read the article on his website. It's joshuakors.com, and Kors is K-O-R-S, so you can find it at joshuakors.com. Joshua, welcome back to Open Line. Good to have you here.
Good to be here, Fred.
And we're at 614-292-8513 if you'd like to join the conversation. Joshua, for those who didn't hear the first broadcast, let's talk about this just a little bit more, this whole idea. You undertook much longer than a six-month investigation now, in which your findings were that the military was diagnosing people who were injured in Iraq, sometimes with injuries like injuries to the eye or injuries to the hearing, symptoms like post-traumatic stress disorder, et cetera, but they were diagnosing them as having a pre-existing personality disorder. And because of that diagnosis and the discharge under that diagnosis, they were not able to receive disability benefits or medical care. Tell us a little bit about, but you feel the diagnosis is false. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. The focus of my article was Specialist John Town, a soldier who was injured in Ramadi, Iraq by a rocket attack. The rocket left him largely deaf, and he was given the Purple Heart to honor his wounds. But when he came back to the U.S. and it was time for his discharge, the Army decided that his deafness was actually caused by a pre-existing personality disorder, and discharging him through the personality disorder mechanism, they were able to prevent him from collecting disability or medical benefits for the rest of his life. Another small print provision in that personality disorder discharge is that he, like the thousands of other wounded soldiers who were being discharged by this mechanism, had to give back their signing bonus for the years they were too injured to serve, so that on the day of their discharge, these soldiers are finding out they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars. Town's story was a good display of how this works. In the past 6 years, 22,500 soldiers have been discharged with personality disorder. Cheating those veterans out of their benefits is saving the military $12.5 billion in disability and medical care.
Joshua, when you say cheating them out of their benefits by diagnosing them as having a personality disorder, you're, of course, presuming that all of these diagnoses were false.
That's right. And it's easy to declare that for a few reasons. First of all, in the 8 months I've been investigating the medical papers on this, never once have I found a case in which reasonable men could disagree. Again, in Town's case, the Army doctors declared that deafness was caused by personality disorder. I looked at the case of Richard Dykstra, who came back with severe stomach pains from Iraq. They said those stomach pains were caused by personality disorder. He thought it was caused by a bilateral hernia he suffered while on duty. There was William Wooldridge, who had a schizophrenic break after accidentally running over a small girl in Iraq. He was later haunted by her ghost in his Arkansas home. They said those delusions were caused by a personality disorder. And Fred, since we last spoke, I looked at the case of one soldier who has damaged the lens of his eyeball while on duty in Iraq. They said that damage was caused bipersonality disorder.
Now, the idea is if you diagnose a personality disorder under the Army Separations Manual, Chapter 513, and the person is separated from service due to a pre-existing personality disorder, let's say you had this disorder long before you went in the service, therefore no medical benefits, no disability benefits. But let me ask, what is the personality disorder diagnosis? What does that mean?
Well, in one sense, it's very broad. As I said, they're using it as kind of a catch-all. But according to the military's own regulations, it's extremely specific. Personality disorder is a psychological condition so severe that a soldier wouldn't be able to serve from the very first day. And, of course, the military's own regulations prevent this diagnosis from even occurring. Soldiers are screened twice before serving in Iraq, first when they join the Army, and second before deploying. In all the cases I looked at, the medical records show these soldiers are perfectly healthy on those first two screenings. It's only when they come back from Iraq wounded and seek benefits that the pre-existing condition is discovered.
One of the Army personnel you talked to said that he said, well, it's different, he said, because a personality disorder may not be seen initially, but it could be triggered by events in wartime. A pre-existing disorder suddenly comes to bloom because of the stress of wartime.
Yes, that was Colonel Knorr, Chief of Behavioral Health at Fort Carson in Colorado. Fort Carson seemed to be an epicenter of this problem, though in the course of my research, I spoke with soldiers from Fort Stewart to all across the country, Fort Polk in Louisiana. Knorr said two interesting things. First, that these soldiers may have seemed perfectly healthy all their life, but that a personality disorder can lay dormant and simply be triggered by the stressful events in Iraq. He also said that there was no reason to speak to family or friends, even fellow soldiers, to determine that this was a pre-existing condition, because family and friends wouldn't have the keen psychological insight that he and his staff had, and so speaking to them would be of little value.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, you would maintain that of these 22,500 approximately discharged as diagnosed with a personality disorder over the past 6 years, the armed forces would have saved $12.5 billion approximately in benefits by doing so, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so and you would maintain these were essentially false diagnoses, wrong diagnoses, in order to save the Army money. Is that the motivation?
That's part of it. Yeah, by the way, those figures come from an in-depth Harvard study by Professor Linda Bilmes, an excellent breakdown of how much soldiers would be collecting in disability pay, what their average lifespan would be, that sort of thing, how much medical care they would need year to year. Of course, in many of these cases, we're talking about wounded soldiers who would need a large amount of medical care and disability pay from year to year, were they able to collect it.
Okay. Well, in other words, what would be the motivation? In other words, you're suggesting the motivation for the armed forces is to save money. What's the motivation for an individual psychologist in an Army medical clinic, let's say, to come up with a diagnosis that he or she knows is not true? Why would they do that?
It's a great question. That's something I looked into extensively. First, there's pressure on them from the military brass to falsely diagnose. Several sources told me at their base this is occurring. Spoke with several Army lawyers involved in the discharge process who said the commanders at their base were pressuring the doctors to falsely diagnose. One told me he knew the commanders at his base were doing this because they had come to him and confessed to doing it. There's also an immediate benefit for the doctors. The hospitals there at each base are simply overrun with wounded soldiers. They can usher one soldier out the door very quickly in about 5 days with a personality disorder diagnosis, with a proper medical board discharge, which is what these soldiers should be receiving. It would take about 6 months to run them through. This way they can free up a bed that's waiting for the four or five soldiers who are wounded and waiting to take it. And when we talk about why these soldiers take this false diagnosis when they know they don't have personality disorder. Every soldier I spoke to said they were directly lied to by their doctors. they would tell them, if you take this personality disorder discharge, you'll get to keep your signing bonus. You'll get medical care. You'll get disability pay. It's only in their final hours in uniform, as they're filling out the papers, they find out none of those reassurances are true.
Now, I understand that you're saying there's a motivation for the doctors to help clear out the clinics for new people coming in. But why do you feel there is pressure from their superiors? What's the motivation of the superiors to pressure them to do that? Same reason or what?
Well, it's a cost-saving technique. I think a lot of the military brass feel that their budget would be bankrupt if they truly processed all of these soldiers in an appropriate way.
All right. Now, we have an update on the case of Army Specialist John Town.
I do. You know, let me say that there's another bit of leverage that they use on these soldiers. A lot of these guys who are wounded are in units that are redeploying to Iraq, and they can say to them, look, wounded as you are, you're not going to be able to protect your buddy's back as well as another soldier who's healthy and could fill your shoes. So they'll say, if you take this personality disorder discharge and leave the military now, we can get a competent soldier who will make your buddies in your unit even safer, and urge to protect their fellow soldiers. A lot of the wounded soldiers in these cases say, you know what, it's best for my friends to keep them safe. I'll take it.
And some of the soldiers you interviewed said that they were told that, huh?
That's exactly right. Now, an update in Specialist Towns' case, for 8 months, he was basically held at arm's length by the VA. Again, he had this personality disorder diagnosis preventing him from receiving VA care. The VA told him, when he applied anyway, just to give it a shot in the dark, that they lost his paperwork on 5 separate occasions. Finally, one day, just about a week or two ago, he received an emergency phone call from the Dayton, Ohio VA, not too far from where he lives in Ohio, in Findlay. And they told him that things had changed. They wanted him to come down immediately, and he came down, and they are now providing him full medical care. The doctors at the Dayton, Ohio VA said the idea that he had a personality disorder was simply ridiculous. They completely rejected the diagnosis of the Army and are able to move forward providing him a whole range of treatment options. But, of course, Fred, the system is fragmented. The VA doctors rejecting this personality disorder diagnosis does nothing to change his false diagnosis and discharge from the Army and does nothing to give him disability benefits.
Journalist Joshua Kors is with us this half hour. His article, How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits, appeared in The Nation magazine. And you can read that article on his website, Joshua Kors, which is K-O-R-S, joshuakors.com. So John Town, now Specialist Town, is now getting treatment at the VA, but he's not getting disability benefits, right?
That's right.
He's not getting those. Because the Army maintains that the original diagnosis was correct.
Yes, and in fact, they've stuck to that point. The Surgeon General, which Gail Pollack, she's really where the eye of the storm is right now. At first, Ms. Pollack said that she was totally unaware of these 22,500 soldiers. Then when presented a stack of cases, including Specialist Town, she said that she would review it. 5 months later, her office came back and said they had thoughtfully and thoroughly reviewed the cases and decided that all of them, including John Towns, were properly diagnosed. But I did a touch more reporting, and I found out that that review was a sham. In the 5 months they spent reviewing these cases, never once did they interview a single soldier. What they did do is go back to the doctor's offices where these false diagnoses were created and basically asked them whether they got it right the first time. The doctors there said, yep, we did. And they considered that case closed. I tried to get an explanation of this review technique from the Surgeon General, and after 21 phone calls, I finally broke through to Cynthia Vaughn, Ms. Pollack's chief spokeswoman. And she gave a justification that I think your listeners will find quite troubling. She said that the doctors, in reviewing these cases, they didn't think that the soldiers would have any medically valid information to share this many months after their discharge. And so they simply went over the paperwork and concluded it without speaking to soldiers. Well, if Specialist Town had been deaf before joining the Army, he might have remembered that. If he had been too ill to serve from his very first day, perhaps his commanders at Fort Carson, who had watched him earn a dozen medals over 7 years of valid performance, might have had some thoughts. But Surgeon General Gail Pollack didn't feel that way, and so they terminated this review without interviewing anybody.
Mm-hmm. Let us go to our phones now, and our first caller is Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hey, Fred. I used to work in the medical clinics in the military. I served in the Navy for 7 years as an optometrist, and I worked at 32nd Street, San Diego, and Mocalopan. I saw a lot of what this gentleman is describing, and I think he's giving a totally misleading understanding of what actually goes on. If I understand what he's saying, and I was involved in many of these med boards and getting people out and stopping people from getting out, and I think what he's demonstrating is a pretty strong lack of understanding of a military culture and how things work in that system. If they're getting you out because of a hearing disorder and they're saying that it's due to a personality disorder, I can tell you right now what's probably going on there is he's been labeled as what's called a malingerer, someone who's deliberately doing things to try to use a medical reason to get benefits to get out of the military. Now, you're not going to just simply come up, because you got to remember, when you're dealing with these people, you're dealing with physicians. You're dealing with an incredibly highly educated person. You're dealing with a naval or an army officer. These people are incredibly high integrity. And I can't imagine ever a commander coming into me and saying, I have to treat a patient one way or another, or I have to fudge my data. I just cannot believe that would happen. I served for 9 years. Never once was I ever interfered with. I did prevent people from getting out on these med boards because I saw what was going on. And I just... when I'm hearing this, I just can't believe what's going on from what this gentleman is saying. Mm-hmm. And I can get you a list of some of the people I served with that would gladly appear on your show to discuss this topic. But you got to remember the quality of the people you're accusing of distorting medical records and lying and deceiving is just unbelievable, because these are the most people with the most integrity I have ever met with my life, and they're defending this country and they're doing their best. And if this gentleman you have on your show wants to do America real service, he should take a look at where the real fraud goes. When you're getting out of the Navy, when you're getting out of the military, the VA will literally show up and help you go through your medical records so you can get as many benefits as you can. And when I was getting out, they were actually trying to convince me to say that some things existed that I knew really didn't exist, because the VA can get additional benefits. So if you want to really take a look at things, the VA does an incredible job helping these people.
Okay, Bob, hang on the line. Let's get a response here from Joshua Kors.
Yeah, the caller hits on a very important point, malingering, which is military terminology for faking it. As you mentioned in the very beginning of the show, 9 senators, including Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer, Joseph Lieberman, and Senator Kit Bond, have now called for a congressional investigation of these personality disorder discharges. One of the other subset categories they want the Government Accountability Office to look into is malingering in so many of these cases where personality disorder is diagnosed. Faking their wounds is another aspect of the charge in Specialist John Towne's case. Audiologist Richard Purdy writes that perhaps John really doesn't have hearing loss, that he could be faking this diagnosis, of course, at the Ohio VA, where John later received treatment. Those doctors threw out that possibility as simply ridiculous.
Well, I can tell, because that was part of my job, was to catch these people. And believe me, they have many ways, medical ways to catch them. Like, for instance, when you'd come in and see me, I remember this one person was trying to get out because he made a decision he wanted to get out. And so he comes in to me and he tells me that he's seeing double vision, because he knows that if he claims he's getting double vision, he's out immediately. So what you do is you have all these tests to test this. So what you do is you throw a prism in front of him and you literally double his vision. Okay, and then you ask him, how many things are you seeing? Well, he comes in saying, okay, I'm seeing double. Then you put a prism in front of him. Then he does start seeing double. Then you ask him again, how many are you seeing? He'll say four. You know immediately that he's being fraudulent about his claim. So believe me, they have many ways to test this stuff. There is no financial benefit whatsoever to an individual practitioner to sit there. You never even hear about that stuff. You're separated from everything. You're in a clinic. You're seeing your patients. And I cannot believe for the life of me that anyone would ever sit there and think, oh, this is a dollar and cents issues. The military is just, the doctors themselves are so far removed from that kind of a decision. It's just to me, it's just unbelievable that they would do that. And I can't believe
And I got to move on. Thanks. Other people waiting, and we're closing here. You also went on the Government Accountability Office, Joshua Kors, is also investigating, right?
That's right. They're meeting at Fort Carson just this week with Veterans for America, a prominent veterans group that has been investigating this for about 2 years. And representatives from Barack Obama's office and Kit Bond's office will be there, along with officials from Fort Carson. Again, this is an ongoing problem. Several of the cases I'm looking at now come from just a few weeks ago, and in some cases, they're looking at the exact same doctors that were accused of these false diagnoses. In my original review, but Fort Carson has really struggled with this particularly. One of the justifications I saw in the review was that they had gone over all the cases at Fort Carson from the last 4 years and determined all of those cases to be appropriately diagnosed. I spoke with officials at Fort Carson just days ago. Now they're not sure that a complete four-year review was done at all.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have just 2 minutes left. Fred, if you've got something very quick, go ahead.
Is this Fred? Is this
yes,
for me?
Yes, quickly now.
Okay, first of all, the system is the same problem that you have with insurance companies in other areas. Number one, you have doctors under pressure to clear cases. Sometimes if you know the doctor, you can almost write the report for him. Number two, one of the things, if doctors who are 10 or 20 years behind, malingering, conversion disorder, these are things that are set, what happens with post-traumatic stress as well as traumatic stress and brain injury is that there's a large amount of misdiagnosis that's going on. And I deal with these people as a lawyer all the time. And you can see that we need retraining of doctors. We need to change the system that puts people first and money second. So we have a whole cultural, structural change that needs to be made. It's not only in the VA, it's in our insurance companies, it's in the way our court systems work. And I deal with it every day.
Fred?
And I talk to people who are frustrated by it. So
you
need to re-educate our doctors. That's one thing.
Fred, before we run out of time here,
yeah, we have 30 seconds, Joshua.
The thing to look forward to is what's going to happen with Surgeon General Gail Pollack. As you know, in the wake of the Walter Reed scandal, the Pentagon had two reactions. They accepted the resignation of Surgeon General Kevin Kiley, and they hired the public relations firm LMW Strategies with a $100,000 no-bid contract to put a positive spin on the scandal. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Ms. Pollack in the wake of this $12.5 billion scandal.
Joshua, we'll keep in touch. Joshua, as Kors' article, How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits, appeared in The Nation magazine. You can read that article at joshuakors.com. Joshua, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Fred.
When we come back after the break, the International Committee of the Red Cross on the growing humanitarian crisis in Iraq at WOSU 820.